理课堂听 class.com。
Unit 3, Preview. When a group of human beings work together, what does it take to make the cooperation go smoothly, effectively, and productively? This question is one that every business manager faces. Good training, good conditions, a pleasant atmosphere, a common aim, all of these factors play a part, but the richness of human psychology makes management a subtle and demanding art.And when businesses go international, there are even more complexities to cope with. University of New Hampshire, another co-author of the study. Braswell said that in years when the global weather is... What happens at work in a world that's rapidly becoming a global village? The three texts you're going to read in this unit explore some of the fascinating complications of international management.
Text A, The Tale of a Cultural Translator. Joint ventures involving Western and Japanese companies often run into conflicts. A multitude of little things that escalate into big emotional battles, in which all the parties keep exclaiming, "What's wrong with them? Can they understand that?" But because the conflicts are mainly due to cultural differences, neither side can understand.Unless they have a cultural translator. The first cultural translator I ever met was an installation engineer, George by name, who worked for an American company where I was the director of international operations. The company had just started a joint venture with a Japanese firm, and the American management needed someone to train the Japanese employees in its unique technology. George's solid understanding of the equipmentIts installation and use made him the best qualified employee for the job, so everyone was happy when George accepted a 2-year contract for temporary transfer to Japan. From the start, George was well accepted by all the Japanese employees. Japanese managers often distrust anyone sent to represent U.S. owners, but George was so naturally non-assertive that no one could see him as a threat to their careers.So they felt comfortable asking his advice on a wide range of matters, including the odd behavior of their partners across the ocean. Engineers throughout the company appreciated George's expertise and his friendly and capable help, and they got into the habit of turning to him whenever they had a problem, any problem. And the secretaries in the office were eager to help this nice bachelor learn Japanese.Sooner than anyone expected, the company became a profitable, thriving, and growing venture. George's first 2-year contract came to an end. By then, he could speak good Japanese and had picked up Japanese habits. He drank green tea at all hours, ate rice at every meal, and had even learned to sit properly on Japanese tatami mats. So when George was offered a second 2-year Japanese contract,He accepted at once. Another contract followed, and George's love affair with Japanese culture continued. But as George's 6th year in the country was coming to an end, an unexpected difficulty became apparent. The Japanese engineers had surpassed George in their knowledge of the rapidly changing technology. He had nothing left to teach them. Was this the end for poor George?Was there nothing more he could offer to the now mature joint venture he had served so loyally? Would he have to leave the country he had come to love? No. Faced with the threat of an unwilling departure from Japan, George reinvented himself as a cultural translator. The idea came to George one day when the Japanese joint venture president was, again, offended by a message from the American management.As usual in such situations, he stormed into George's office and threw the message in front of him in a fury. And George, as usual, read the message and explained in his calm manner what the Americans had really meant by it, not what it sounded like in the context of Japanese culture. Fortunately for everyone, both the Japanese and American sides of the joint venture had heard enough horror stories about cultural conflicts to recognize the value of George's skills. So when he proposed this new position for himself, the idea was quickly approved. The wisdom of this decision was proved again and again over the years. At times, something far more important than good English was needed. One such case was when the Japanese accountant had to explain the $46,534 spent on 874 December holiday presents. Or there was the time when the Japanese personnel manager had to justify keeping a chemist on the payroll, even though the company no longer needed his expertise. In cases like these, everyone turned to George. Somehow or other, he made their messages sound at least halfway sensible to the Americans. And when there was something that even George couldn't translate into American-style sense, he would write, "This will sound crazy, but you should go along with it anyway." It worked the other way around, too. When the American managers visited Japan, George accompanied us everywhere to ensure that we didn't do or say anything too stupid from the Japanese viewpoint. Whenever we did that anyway, he came to the rescue at once. "What they really mean is..." Whole multitudes of difficulties never arose thanks to George's skill at smoothing over small conflicts before they became big, emotional, and costly. Since leaving that company in George's capable hands, I've advised many firms on international operations. And my first recommendation is always the same. Don't worry about the language problems. The first thing you need is a cultural translator.
New words. Joint.
Joint venture.
Conflict.
Multitude.
Escalate.
Emotional.
Party.
Exclaim.
Installation.
Management.
Equipment.
Qualified.
Qualify.
Contract.
Distrust.
Represent.
Naturally.
Non-assertive.
Behavior.
Partner.
Expertise.
Bachelor.
Profitable.
Thrive.
Properly.
Tatami.
Mat.
Apparent.
Surpass.
Loyally.
Loyal.
Departure.
Context.
Horror.
Propose.
Approve.
Accountant.
Personnel.
Justify.
Justification.
Payroll.
Sensible.
Crazy.
Accompany.
Ensure.
Viewpoint.
Text B, A Multicultural Person by Gunnar Beath. A multicultural person is someone who is deeply convinced that all cultures are equally good, enjoys learning the rich variety of cultures in the world, and most likely has been exposed to more than one culture in his or her lifetime. You cannot motivate anyone, especially someone of another culture, until that person has accepted you. A multilingual salesperson can explain the advantages of a product in other languages, but a multicultural salesperson can motivate foreigners to buy it. That's a critical difference. No one likes foreigners who are arrogant about their own culture. Customers are turned off by monocultural salespeople. The trouble is, most people are arrogantly monocultural without being aware of it. And even those who are aware of it can't hide it. Foreigners sense monocultural arrogance at once and set up their own cultural barriers, effectively blocking any attempt by the monocultural person to motivate them. Multiculturalism is a requirement that has been neglected too often in hiring managers for international positions. And this neglect is affecting every industry. Even if your company is not yet a multinational one, chances are you're in touch with foreign customers or manufacturers. Do you have the right employee forging these relations? For 20-odd years, I've run an executive search firm from Brussels. When clients ask us to find the right person for a new pan-European sales or management position, I start by asking them to specify the qualifications their ideal candidate would have. Most often, they list the same qualities they would want for a domestic position, but with the additional requirement that the new manager be fluent enough in English, German, and French to cope with faxes and email. It sometimes takes me hours to persuade clients that the linguistic abilities they see as crucial are not enough. But after some discussion, we usually wind up specifying something like, the new manager must be accepted throughout Europe. Thus, he or she must be multicultural. If possible, he or she should also be able to communicate in more than one of the major European languages. Of course, it's far more difficult to determine candidates' multiculturalism than it is to check their language skills, but it's also a far more important ingredient to success. To seek out this crucial quality, I ask a lot of questions about candidates' early childhood, looking for evidence of contact with diverse cultures, and I probe for arrogance about their background and environment. It's sometimes very difficult to make the call. I remember a company that asked me to check out a salesman they were planning to send to Mexico. He had studied Spanish and had grown up in New York City, the most culturally diverse place in America. But when I interviewed him, it turned out that he had no concept of the great pride Mexicans take in their culture, and moreover, he was uneasy about Mexican restaurants and markets being dirty and unsafe. I rejected him, just as Mexican buyers would have rejected him if he had been selected for the job. Similarly, don't think for a moment that a proven American salesperson can be sent to Great Britain and be expected to sell there, since it's the same language. In 9 out of 10 cases, he or she will fail. The ones who succeed are multicultural people with the rare ability to gain acceptance from British customers. And don't fall for the myth that a candidate's knowledge of superficial behavior, like shaking hands or bowing, is a sure sign of multiculturalism. An American businessman arriving in Japan is immediately aware of the cultural differences, even in the first hour. It only takes a few days to learn when to take off his shoes or how to eat with chopsticks, but he'll still feel like a bull in a china shop, and an exceptionally clumsy bull at that. Even moving as carefully as he can, he still finds himself sending all the china crashing to the floor and offending people right and left. A monocultural person gives up at this point, because even if he's ready to learn about another culture intellectually, he refuses to penetrate it emotionally. A multicultural person swallows his pride, learns from his blunders, and in the end manages to get in touch with the spirit of the new culture, not just its superficial details.
New words. Multicultural.
Convince.
Multilingual.
Salesperson.
Arrogant.
Monocultural.
Salespeople.
Aware.
Arrogance.
Barrier.
Block.
Multiculturalism.
Requirement.
Neglect.
Executive.
Client.
Specify.
Specification.
Qualification.
Ideal.
Candidate.
Fluent.
Facts.
Linguistic.
Contact.
Diverse.
Diversify.
Probe.
Moreover.
Similarly.
Myth.
Superficial.
China.
Chopstick.
Bull.
Exceptionally.
Exceptional.
Clumsy.
Crash.
Penetrate.
Swallow.
Blunder.